Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
As nearly 50 leaders from Africa are meeting with President Obama for a big Africa summit in Washington, let's hold our own Brian Lehrer Show Africa Summit right here for a few minutes. And you are the guests. You are the experts. If you have ties to an African country, call right up and tell us something that has changed in the last 5 years for better or for worse in the African country that you have ties to. 212-433-WNYC for the Brian Lehrer Show Africa Summit, 212-433-9692. Now, it could be anything you think is a significant enough change to say on the radio. Tell the other listeners something they don't know about Africa. You know how little most Americans know about Africa. So if you are somebody with ties to any African country, let's help raise the knowledge level, raise the awareness level, specifically anything that has changed in the country that you came from or have ties to, for better or for worse, in the last 5 years. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. You know, it does seem like all the American media ever talk about regarding Africa is persistent war and persistent poverty and now the Ebola virus, things like that. So what else should people know? What's an underreported story or development from the country that you have ties to in Africa, for better or for worse, in the last 5 years? Tell us something most of us don't know about one African country that you do know. 212-433-9692. And as your calls are coming in, here's about a minute of President Obama's address to African leaders in D.C. yesterday.
Even as Africa continues to face enormous challenges, even as too many Africans still endure poverty and conflict, hunger and disease, even as we work together to meet those challenges, we cannot lose sight of the new Africa that's emerging. We all know what makes Africa such an extraordinary opportunity. Some of the fastest growing economies in the world, a growing middle class, expanding sectors like manufacturing and retail, one of the fastest growing telecommunications markets in the world. More governments are reforming, attracting a record level of foreign investment. It is the youngest and fastest growing continent with young people that are full of dreams and ambition.
So President Obama yesterday trying to tell some folks some things they don't know about Africa. And Africa, of course, is so huge. I mean, the fact that there are like 50 heads of state, that many countries, things are so different from country to country, like any country to country on any continent. But Americans don't have much of a sense of it. Help us understand more with our own Brian Lehrer Show Africa Summit. Tell us one thing that has changed in the last 5 years, for better or for worse, in the African country that you have ties to. Let us know. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, and we'll take your calls right after this. It's the Brian Lehrer Show Africa Summit as President Obama holds his in Washington. Tell everybody something most of us don't know that has changed in the last 5 years in the African country that you have ties to, for better or for worse. Busayo in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Thanks so much for calling.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Good. Where are you from?
I'm from Nigeria. I was actually born in Boston, Massachusetts, but I was raised in Nigeria.
Uh-huh.
And for the last 10 years, no, like 14 years, I go back and forth. I have family members there. So about twice a year, every year, I go to visit. And a great deal has changed. I think, you know, the proliferation of cell phones really can't be understated. I think that really changed sort of industry and commerce in terms of most Nigerians have a cell phone sort of across the economic range. So from the very poor to the very wealthy. In terms of what people are buying and, you know, sort of cars on the street and just, you know, kind of fancier homes, like you really see the change in economic growth, certainly in the last 5 years, and a lot of infrastructure development as well. I do think that the presence of Chinese and Indian folks is something that is also just, you know, just looking at people on the ground. You know, typically when I used to go home, you know, you could go 2 days and not see anyone that was not black. And now, you know, you sort of see a lot of, especially in the markets, you see a lot of Chinese men and Chinese men and women there. I do think something needs to change in terms of the American perception of Africa. I do a lot of work in fashion. I produce in Nigeria and sell here.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of times when I'm at market, people say, oh, are your clothes made by, like, women in a collective? Or, like, you know, are these, like, benefiting refugees? Like, people literally ask these questions here. And I'm like, no, these clothes are made by, you know, men and women who have their own businesses in Nigeria. So I definitely think that this perception of, around aid really has to change. And I think that's where the U.S. kind of has really been really kind of screwed up in a way, because I think China and India kind of just took Africa on its own terms. And I even hate to use the word Africa because I can only speak for Nigeria.
Right.
But I think they took it on its own terms and went there and tried to develop new markets. Where I think the U.S. is just this perception, like, you know, people still ask questions that are really mind-boggling. About, you know, when I was going home, like Boko Haram, and like, you know, are you going to be in danger? And I understand that sentiment, like wanting to care, but it's also such a diverse place. And so when something is going on in one pocket, you know, if something was going on in Los Angeles, you wouldn't tell someone not to go to New York, you know, and it's really the same thing. Like, there's such a diversity throughout the continent. And I really just hope that Americans, and I hope the summit is a step in the right direction to really be more open and realize that, you know, Africa has arrived and what we've always thought about it is totally changing. And I think Indian folks and Chinese have certainly realized that, and they're there, you know, kind of making their money, really.
Busayo, great call. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brian.
Solomon in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hi, Solomon.
Hey, how you doing? Good show, Brian.
Thank you. Where are you from originally?
I'm from Ivory Coast, Cote d'Ivoire.
Uh-huh. West Coast of Africa.
Since after the war, Ivory Coast is coming better now with the road and with the president. The president doing so good. Everybody's coming together. We all say hi to each other. Before, we didn't like each other. Now, all of a sudden, we all like each other. Maybe those people didn't like the president before. Now, they like him because there's no more war right now. So, you know, that's what I was trying to say.
What after the Civil War? So what do you think about what President Obama is doing? Do you think there are particular opportunities for investment, certain sectors of the economy in Ivory Coast that Americans should be hip to?
Exactly. Americans, they would be glad to be in Ivory Coast with the investment. There's a lot of stuff in Ivory Coast. People they don't know about it. Now, all of a sudden, we all know about it with the diamond and on the oil. Everything is good.
Solomon, thank you very much. Good luck to you. And Abdul in Manhattan here on WNYC. Good morning, Abdul.
Hey, Brian. Thank you for picking up my call. My name is Abdul Rashid. I'm from Ghana. I go to Ghana a lot. Brian, I think one of the basic things that have changed in Ghana is our currency. The currency has fallen almost about 40%, depreciated almost about 30% within the last couple of months. Because Ghana is completely import-oriented, and the government has done nothing to do to change this. And I think that's a very big problem. There's no way we will ever get foreign investment, because you cannot invest your money in an economy. To $10,000 you invest today, the following year it becomes $7,000.
That's terrible deflation. Do you think that
completely? Even now they start, not even we are having stagflation in Ghana completely.
Yes.
There's stagflation in Ghana.
Stagflation.
No economic growth, and there's inflation in the country. Complete stagflation.
Now, when you say it's an import-oriented economy, are people importing, the necessities of life into Ghana rather than producing?
The whole economy is based on the dollar. Completely, it's based on what happens with the dollar.
What could change? What could Ghana be producing more for itself or for export?
There are solutions. The solution should come from our legal system. We have an inefficient legal system. We don't have an independent judiciary, and that breeds corruption. That's the only way we can change. We are not even Ghana, most African countries. If they can change these things, we change in Ghana. But until we change our legal system and change our character, believe me, we will always, no matter how much they invest in Ghana, nothing is going to change. Because if you don't have any innovation to change the way people work in the country, or to bring some sort of innovations, the only thing you know is corruption. That's the way only you can enrich yourself. Brian, we struggle in this country. Invest in Ghana, and everything it becomes decimated completely within a short time.
And President Obama did mention this yesterday, that obviously internal corruption has to change, has to be improved in a number of African countries for the investment community to feel confident in putting money there for economic growth. Do you think this is something that something like the Africa Summit with President Obama there can help with, or does this only have to be generated internally?
I can tell you it's going to change things. You see, Ghana is one of the most democratic countries, not only in Africa, but in the world. There is peace in Ghana, and we are well-educated people in Ghana. But right, the problem is with the corruption. You see, but what Obama is doing, if they can maybe infuse certain ideas in our people and then change the mindset, I think it's going to work out.
Thank you very much for your call, Abdul. I really appreciate it. Jen in Freeport, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jen. Oh, I think we have a bad connection. Try again.
This is Jen from Freeport.
Hi. Okay, I think I have you now. What country do you have ties to?
My brother-in-law is an agricultural minister in the country of Tanzania.
Uh-huh.
He's been there for about 20 years. And in the last 5 years, he's been able to bring beekeeping as one of his programs to the area. And what it's done is that it's brought a level of commerce to the area, and it's brought really a sense of pride. He's teaching, you know, the locals who are a 3-day drive from Dar es Salaam, which is the capital, very, very rural area. He's giving them a sense of pride, a sense of ownership, a sense of commerce, a sense of income, and it's really changed where he lives for the better, I think.
Now, why beekeeping? I mean, people, you know, people in Brooklyn may consider beekeeping a kind of boutique agricultural pursuit in a country that maybe needs much more large-scale stuff. So how would you contextualize this for us?
Well, one of the things that he really tries to convey is that he doesn't want the white man to come in and fix things. He wants something that's sustainable, and he can teach the locals a skill, but he doesn't want it to disappear or fall apart after he leaves. And this is a very sustainable program that, that with very, very little money, can produce tremendous benefits.
All right. Jen, thank you so much for your call. And Joseph in Secaucus, you're on WNYC. Hi, Joseph.
Hi, Brian. Thank you for accepting my call. I would like to say, you know, I run a Pan-African media organization in Africa, and went around to different countries. And what we have seen in Africa in the last 5-10 years is something we have not seen in the last 300 years, where we have had relationships with the European continent. And I say this thanks to China, thanks to China, thanks to China, who relentlessly, positively engaged with African countries and showed a remarkable infrastructural development where people in the rural areas can go to hospitals, can go to schools, can go to the cities with their agricultural produce and sell in very short time. This being said, it doesn't mean there is no corruption, there is no bad governance, but you know, we are moving forward, and things have changed for better.
Joseph, ask you a follow-up question, because you're the second caller to bring up China more than the West investing in Africa, and as the other caller from Nigeria put it, taking Africa on its own terms. And your ties, as you said, are to Ethiopia and Kenya, which is all the way on the other side of the continent in the East. Do you think, though, that as we've sometimes heard in the news in this country, that China is engaging in a kind of neocolonialism of its own in Africa? I've heard, for example, that they bring in Chinese workers. They need jobs for their own people, so they bring in Chinese workers to take the best jobs. And so they're using Africa for their own enrichment, but not really sharing so much with the local population. Do you think that's not so true?
No, let me tell you, this is I really appreciate that you brought this issue up. Listen, China brought laborers from Chinese laborers to African labor market. What does that do? There is indirect transfer of knowledge to Africans. Let me give you an example. Road construction, building construction. For instance, in Ethiopia, there were contractors who used to build, rural roads. But when Chinese came with their workforce, Ethiopian counterpart workforce look at what they're doing, and they picked up. That's an indirect knowledge transfer. And what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? Why do we highlight the negative aspect of China bringing its own labor force? As I see it today, for instance, I used to advocate that maybe the Western the Western countries should promote a mechanism that their citizens go with their money and leave like locals and invest like locals and work like locals. In that way, there are things, there is a knowledge, potential knowledge.
Transfer of knowledge over time. Joseph, thank you so much. I really appreciate your call. And since I mentioned that we got calls thanking China for the investment from East Africa and West Africa, we're not going to have time for Ibman in the Bronx, but he's saying the same thing originally from Uganda, so that's Central Africa. So China is there all over the continent for whatever complex mix of good and bad. But you hear, you know, our thoroughly unscientific small sample of Africans from around different parts of the continent calling to thank China for its presence. And all right, well, I think everybody else learned a few things there. Our Brian Lehrer Show Africa Summit. Thanks to all of you as the experts, you as the guests, as President Obama holds his official Africa Summit in D.C., concluding today with approximately 50 heads of state.